let us bow our heads in remembrance of an old tech friend, now gone. Although only a handful of decades old, it succumbed to a pernicious disease that often strikes technology. Obsolescence. R.I.P. the VCR. The last manufacturer of video cassette recorders just recently called it quits. The VCR was a fixture in many homes since the late 1970s. Sherry Zeck, Associate Dean of the College of Fine Arts at Illinois State University and GLT's culture maven, says the recorder's addition to our lives gave viewers, for the very first time, an exciting new power: time shifting.
Then there was also an archiving function, recording off air and hanging on to things. And of course, it wasn't very long before a whole videotape market, licensed videotape market, sprung up, and the buying videotapes, renting videotapes, that sort of thing kicked in. But it was the time shifting that I think was the first important thing. And then also, of course, using first beta tapes, then later VHS tapes, in portable devices to do one's home movies in a different way.
It really seemed to open up the ability for the individual to have agency when it comes to entertainment.
Exactly. Controlling your schedule, scheduling recordings, watching things later, rewatching bits, hanging on to things. Remember when folks like myself were young, it was a big deal to go to the theater when I was 5 or something and see Mary Poppins. Well, 30 years later, 20, 25, 30 years later, young kids would get their video of Mary Poppins, mm-hmm. and they would watch it 20 times in a week and yeah. over and over and over again. So it's agency, but it also really fundamentally changed our relationship to images and content and being able to invest in things more deeply.
Do you think that it could have, that it shortened our attention span in a way that we definitely, you know, we can have what we want when we want it, no more waiting for, you know, if you miss an episode of Family Ties, you could have just recorded it. You don't have to wait for the summer rerun.
I think that that's certainly true. I think it was one of a number of things that have attenuated the human attention span, that's for sure. But on the other hand, it asked for a different kind of attention because it's with, let's say, Star Wars and videotape. People went to see Star Wars in the movie theater 10, 15, 20 times.
Yep.
But they also then got the tapes and they watched bit by bit over and over and over again. And so this fanatic attention to excruciating detail mm-hmm. was also made much easier by having a videotape that you could watch over and over again.
Did that help feed the growing geek culture?
Well, that and marketing. Filmmakers specifically, or actually distributors, and specifically distributing across various media fed into that geekdom. So a whole kind of culture, a participatory but mostly a consuming culture, went along with the ability to control the play of images.
Well, how did the VCR impact the adult film industry?
It impacted it hugely, right? Because they no longer had to go through the rigmarole and the difficulties of public performance of a film and in order to find their market and make their money, but could lots and lots and lots of movies started being made straight to videotape for videotape distribution. So it created a whole new market there. I mean, there were still films being made for adult movie theaters, but the much, much bigger market became straight to tape.
And that impacted the legit business as well. I mean, there was a lot of straight-to-tape movies that were made, although they were considered sort of, you know, Sharknado-level kind of quality.
Sharknado, which has sequels. I mean, that is the world we are living in, Laura, that Sharknado has sequels. But that's another interview. Direct-to-video, in many ways, is a shorthand for wasn't able to get a distribution deal, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't a big hit. But it did allow for a certain level of profitability for films that otherwise wouldn't have made it to broadcast or to movie screens. On the other hand, as it often goes in capitalism, videotape was seen as a great threat to the movie industry, just as TV was seen as a threat to the movie industry, until the industry figured out, no, it's another revenue stream. So yes, the video market then became a very important revenue stream to the makers of films and other kinds of content.
So originally, Hollywood and the entertainment industry was horrified by the rise of the VCR until they realized how much money they could make off of it.
Sure, there was an attempt to keep VCRs from entering the market. The Betamax was blocked for a couple of years, and then Betamax was allowed to come in part because it couldn't record 2 hours at a time. And then with the VHS, which actually was only created about a year after Beta, with VHS, there was the capability to record 2 hours, which meant a full-length movie. And that was resisted, and that lawsuit was lost, and it came in and changed the world.
So how has it changed the world?
I think one thing that people don't often talk about is it has decreased our demand for aesthetics.
What do you mean by that?
Old folks like me, who studied film in grad school some years ago, while the VCR changed our ability to study film, it was absolutely seen, videotapes were absolutely seen as not as good as film, because they're not. The quality in film is incredible. So insofar as the advent of videotape and then later various digital technologies for production and reproduction and display of images and narrative content came into play, film has fallen away. And aesthetically, the colors are richer. It's a different kind of experience going into a movie theater. There is a loss for many of us in not having film, actual film anymore. But obviously the ability to see things, even if they are a shadow of their original filmic incarnation, is being able to see things over and over again is an incredible boon. And if you miss something in the movie theater, you can at least catch part of the cultural wave by seeing it later. For people who are scholars, you don't have to be in a major city to be able to see foreign films and independent films. You may be a bit later than folks who are living in New York or London, but you will have other means for seeing things. And that was a huge cultural shift in the 1980s for scholars as well as for everyday users. And then, of course, it's these technologies. You can go back to the Super 8 film, but Super 8 was a mess, right? You had to have big racks of lights, and it was a big deal to make those little 3.5 minute films. And so while the ability to record home movies and that sorts of thing existed back into the teens and earlier, it was cumbersome. It was really with the Betamax that something more or less portable, though we would look at them now and still say they were quite clunky, but it was with the Betamax that it started being more normal for people to have videos of children's baptisms and weddings. And now it's
ubiquitous.
And right. So that was really the precursor for our cell phones now, where we're videotaping absolutely everything.
I'm wondering if the VCR, if there's any chance at all, it might actually have a second life like the LP. I mean, I remember when LPs started waning and the you know, CDs. I'm like, this is great. And then I could download music, and I just thought this was a marvelous thing. Yet there are people who are still buying LPs, who still have turntables and enjoy listening to music that way. Is there any way that the VCR could ever make a comeback like the LP has?
I suspect it would only be in a very, very niche way. An artist wanting to work with the particular properties that videotape has, visually and orally. I can see that sort of thing. But the difference between an LP and a DVD, or even film to some extent, versus videotape, is that videotape decays. So the life of a videotape is probably less than 10 years. It was a big decision for me a few years ago to throw out all my VHS tapes, let alone my Beta tapes, of which I had hundreds.
Oh, man.
And it was an incredible archive, and it was stuff that will never find its way to YouTube and other places. But I realize at this point these things are 20 years old, and even if my old Betamax would still work, chances are the image would have been so degraded that it would be
frustrating to watch.
Frustrating to watch. Yeah. So that's the difference. You can take an LP that was made in 1962 and put it on the turntable, and if you have a decent stylus, it's still going to have decent speakers, it's still going to have warmth and depth and all those things that people like about vinyl. But you pick a videotape out of the trash and there may be no image at all. There's likely to be displacement between audio and image, and there'll be color spread and other artifacts.
Do we lose anything with the death of the VCR other than be kind, rewind, and playing with the tracking wheel and getting the blinking clock, 12 o'clock blinking all the time because we didn't know how to set the clock? Do we lose anything with the death of the VCR?
One thing we lose is a certain level of interactivity, and I think it's more important with the LP than it is with the videotape, but that setting the time precisely, going back, starting over, making conjunctions, those kinds of things, it does give us at some small level a different level of interaction with those things that we are recording that I think at some place works on our brains.
Yeah.
Let me go back to the vinyl analogy, however. Many people will say that act of putting the needle on the record, put the needle on the record, put the needle on the record, that act of putting the needle on the record, I mean, you knew that your favorite song was track two on side two, and you got so you could be really precise about putting the needle down at the beginning or even finding that middle spot that you liked really well. And that physical relationship, that physical act, gave us a different memory pathway in regards to that music. I know that I do not remember information about music since the CD age in the way that I did about vinyl. And I think it's because of that physical relationship, as small as it is, to the song. So the videotape, the searching, the kinds of ways that we interacted with videotape, I suspect is something that somewhere in our brains has been lost that we will bemoan later. But it's also the ability to hang on to things. Now, of course, digital storage is virtually infinite. I mean, from the average user's point of view, you can just keep adding drives. But how many of you listening have filled up your DVR? And so you've had to throw out things that if you had it on tape,
you know, I did that just this morning. I was like, well, I guess I'll delete this because I got to make room for this.
Right. And there are ways that you can get content off a DVR onto a hard drive, but the companies attempt to gimp it in order to protect copyright. And it's cumbersome and it's not. The VCR was easy. Of course, there were a lot of people who never learned how to set their VCR, but it was easy. You put it in, you press, at the very least, you press record, you take it out at the end, and you can take it back and look at it later. So the DVR is not precisely, we still have time shifting, we still can save things for a while, but it's limited in a way that the VCR was not and VHS was not. Well, technologies change, and this is something that one has to accept, but it grates for those of us who are archivists and who are completists, and we worry about those things that are lost. Folks have a sense that, well, you can see anything on Netflix, you can find anything on YouTube. And while it is miraculous that you can find that one episode of Password where you remember Elizabeth Montgomery making that particular gesture from, you know, 1968 or something, and you can go find that on YouTube, there's still lots and lots and lots of stuff, of course, that's not on YouTube. YouTube, Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu and those other services, they change their content all the time. So one of the worries that those of us who've lived through some of these technology changes have is that with the disappearance of a particular technology, there is also content that is disappearing. There are lots of things that even yours truly had on tape that will never see the light of day or are very unlikely to see the light of day on YouTube or anything else that maybe Sherry Zeck decided in 2014 was no longer worth keeping in her house. But we don't know what the future is going to see as something that would have been valuable information to understand our culture. So that's always the concern when these technologies go away, is what content are they taking away with them.
That's Sherry Zeck, Associate Dean of the College of Fine Arts at Illinois State University and GLT's Culture Maven. I'm Laura Kennedy.